good enough for the goose, it's good enough for the gander, right, I think. Well, Charlie, what else do we have here? Oh, a little gossip here with this Rock L. Welch. Let's see what's happening up here. Rock L. Welch. Anyways, it says Dinah Shore is bouncing back from her Burt Reynolds heartbreak. I'm sorry to hear about that, Dinah. Dinah's been seen lunching at Manhattan's 21 with a handsome 40s gentleman. She refused to introduce anyone, but that glow in her eye said that he was no stranger. And tennis buff Johnny Carson failed to show up at comic Alan King's annual tennis practice at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. Johnny says because his name was used to draw fans who would expect him to be playing in the main court, but the promoters had Johnny scheduled on the back court where you'd need a map to find it. Rockwell Welch says that she calls Henry Kissinger whenever she needs advice on a sticky situation. I wonder what that means. Rockwell claims she and Super K have a great rapport. You better watch your stuff, Rockwell. Anyways, these are some of the things. If you're teasing your mate, stop it. I think we're going to call someone in Alaska. A woman sent a letter in, and also a number of a place up in Alaska. She said that she was up there and once covered with snow, snowed in for many, many days with no food. And in this letter, if you have a weak stomach, just don't listen to this. She was reduced to eating a dog. No food, Charlie.
Yeah.
Starve or call the bow out. So, that's what she had to do. She won't come on?
No, she gave you the wrong phone number.
She gave you the wrong, her number?
The wrong area code or the wrong number?
For herself or up in Alaska?
For her phone number.
Her number is wrong. Oh.
I went through about three operators.
Three operators.
Everything.
Blackstone is out.
Right.
Blackstone is out. The lady who ate the dog is out. But what about that number? What about that number in Alaska?
We can try that.
Well, listen, we'll do the best we can, all right? I mean, let's get the show on the road. That's what I say. I mean, even though that this is not working and this is not working, these are just little handicaps that we shall overcome. We shall overcome. Easy, Larry. Control yourself. I'd like to get the story behind the story. We find out tomorrow what happened. I mean, it's over. It's gone. But I'd like to know why. What happened?
The story behind the story.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's take some calls on numbers 254-5678.
Yeah, if you know something interesting or any place in the world, give us a buzz.
254-5678. Area code 617. So long, Charlie.
So long, mate.
We'll be all set. Let's do a little, we did a little Baron Anderson. Let's do a little silver and gold. Then we'll take our first call. Is John Destroyer all set? Is he there? Hi, John. Report.
All President Guy report. We'll be right back after this short message.
The Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center, is licensed to buy gold articles such as rings, bracelets, chains, old watches, gold teeth, yes, even gold teeth, and any gold coins. Also, the Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center, buys regular silver coins dated before 1964, and rare coins or silver in any form for instant cash. So search around all bureau drawers for those unwanted gold and silver articles and coins. If you live outside the Boston area in other cities or states, mail the items insured for appraisal. If the appraisal is satisfactory to you, a check will be sent to you by return mail. The Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center, makes no charge for appraisals, no amount too small or too large. So bring or send your silver and gold articles to the Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center. Okay, let's take a call 60 minutes after 12, 254-5678. Hello.
Hello, Larry.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. Are you impossible to reach? It took me around 6 months to get...
Oh, you were the first time caller?
Yeah, second time caller.
Oh.
Boy, you really
good
man. A couple of things. Elvis Presley is coming to the Springfield Civic Center July 15th.
Yes.
I wonder if you can sneak an interview or something.
I'd like to.
Your size growing.
I've never interviewed him. I'd like to.
Yeah, July 15th, but see, he just comes in with his private plane. He quickly gets ushered out, so I don't know what time he gets here before the show, but maybe you can get your spies going.
Yeah.
An interview. That'll be a good interview.
I know that. I would like to interview him.
Right. And one other thing. You're a good hypnotist, and I've seen one of your shows, and can you tell me, if you hypnotize someone, and someone's smoking 3 packages of cigarettes a day, right?
Yeah.
Can you make them stop smoking? Say, the person wants to stop smoking, you say, you are not going to smoke. Will it work?
No, you can't make anyone do anything if they don't want to. And sometimes if a person smokes 3 or 4 packs a day, many times there's an emotional problem that goes with it. 3 or 4 packages. That's not normal, really, is it? I mean, huh?
No, I don't smoke, but a friend of mine does. You know?
He smokes 3 packs a day?
Yeah.
Yeah, usually there's a reason why he's smoking so much rather than a habit. There's usually, there may be some anxiety or something. So they should find out. If a person smokes like 2 packs of Roundup, these are the people that usually can help. Some people smoke 3, 4, and 5 packs a day. That's like one cigarette after the other. There's a reason for that. They're hooked on it.
But
and
supposing the person was smoking 2 packs a day, could you make them stop smoking?
No, you cannot make a person do anything with hypnosis. You cannot make them. They must have the desire to do it, and then you just help them.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, you can. No, you cannot make them. You cannot make them do anything.
Right.
Many people think you can make people do things, but you cannot. They must have the desire, and then you just help them.
I understand.
Okay?
Okay, so, okay. Nice talking to you. So, try to get the Elvis Presley interview.
I will.
Okay,
hey, thanks for calling. 254-5678, you're on WBZ. Hello. Hello, Clint, if you can hear me.
Hello.
Hello.
Larry?
Yes.
The Godfather.
Who's the Godfather?
Put on your Godfather hat.
This is the Godfather. What is your favor?
I have a problem.
What is your problem?
I listen to you every night.
Yeah.
And smoke 3 packages of cigarettes a day.
Yeah.
And you made me give them up. But now tell me, how can I stop eating and gain 15 pounds?
Well, we can have Mario come over and sit with you. Every time you go, put something in your mouth. He'll wash you in the mouth. After a short time, you won't have any teeth. You won't eat.
I don't have any teeth anyway.
Well, he'll take your gums out.
But two teeth every night. I come home from work at 11 o'clock and listen to you. You keep saying how bad it was to smoke. Why don't you tell me how bad it is to eat?
You need food. You need a manja. Manja is good. You need to eat smaller amounts. Small amounts and slower. Take your time. Nobody likes a fat woman. I mean, unless you got a fat daddy. You got a fat daddy?
I don't have no daddy.
If you stay fat, you'll never have a daddy.
Tell me.
What?
Can you be hypnotized to stop eating?
Yes. Yes, we take away your pizza. We take away the cake and the candy and the ice cream and the peanuts. And then you eat nice. You get slim, and then you get a daddy. Your favor is granted.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Buona sera.
As an employer who hires a person on aid to families with dependent children, you may be eligible for a 20% tax credit on the wages you pay this person. For further information, call the Work Incentive Program, Division of Employment Security, at 727-6384. That's 727-6384.
Taking the call, 254-5678. Hello, WBZ. Come if you can hear me.
Oh, I finally got you.
Yeah.
Hello, Larry.
Hello.
First-time caller. How would you like to be on TV?
Yes, there's no business like show business. There's no business I know. Yes.
I've been trying to get this suggestion into the front office, and
yeah.
I think you better get Charlie to propose it.
Okay.
You and Snow.
Yes.
Doing a Freedom Trail on TV.
Yeah.
With all his ideas and things on folklore of Boston.
Yeah.
This could sell all over the country.
All right.
Well, you've got something here.
Where are
you and him together.
Where are you calling from?
Canton.
Oh, yeah. Listen, that's not a bad idea.
I'm an old rock star, like you.
Yeah, that's right.
I think this would go for you on TV.
Yeah.
With Snow.
Yeah.
You know, remember all those stories he was telling on your program?
Yeah.
About the pirates?
And yeah.
All those things about Boston, the ships and
yeah.
everything else?
Yeah.
I think you could make something out of it.
16 men on a dead man's chest.
You yeah. have Streeter there. Who is it that
what?
Does the programs from Concord, Lexington?
Yeah, that's Streeter. Yeah.
I think yours would be more interesting. Ghosts and all that stuff with those people you had on.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
Yeah.
I'm a ghost.
You're a ghost.
I see you jogging over Brookline. I'm
yeah.
join you one of these days.
Yeah. Do you jog?
No. I'm too old for that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Do you walk?
Yeah.
That's good. Where in Roxbury were you from?
Dudley Street.
Oh, yeah. Everyone always said, hey, do you know a guy named Glick Furniture in Dudley Street? But he wasn't related to me.
No.
Did you ever hear of Glick Furniture then?
No, I didn't. Third name.
Oh.
Dudley Station.
Yeah. Is that where you lived, in Dudley Street?
Yeah, 38 Dudley.
38 Dudley.
Up on the hill.
Up on the
square.
What are you doing? Oh, did you know my Goomba, Phil Nardella?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
He had that place there in Elliott Square, the restaurant, the Italian restaurant.
Yeah, that was long after I was out of there.
Oh, you were going a long time ago, huh?
I live in Milton now.
I thought you said Canton.
No, I worked in Canton.
Oh, you're working now?
Yeah.
You're okay, pal. That's a good idea. I'll take that idea and I'll use it.
I wish you would. I'd like to see you on TV. It'd
be a pleasure to work with Edward Rowe Snow.
Yes, I think it would be good. I went out to that trip on the island with him.
Oh, yeah. It is.
He's got a lot of stories.
He has.
Out there with
yeah.
you and him.
Right.
Take your wife along.
Yeah.
See the fort.
Yeah.
Tell about it.
I was
TV.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good idea. Listen, thanks very much.
Right.
So long, neighbor. Even if you can hear me. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, lady. I can hardly hear you.
What'd you say?
I can hardly hear you.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
I'm calling from New York State.
Whereabouts, lady?
I've called you before, but I'd rather not go into my history. I wanted to talk about you. I want to ask you a question.
Okay, what category so I know what hat to put on?
Statistics, I guess.
Statistics? Oh, let me
or
get
popularity
this.
Or
popularity
or personal.
Well, let me get my personal hat on. Okay, what's your first name, lady?
My first name, I'll just give you my birthday. I was born August
13th. Oh, gee, you won't tell me your first name, where you're from?
No,
really?
I'd rather not.
Oh, okay. Are you under investigation or something?
Oh, no. I want to ask you, about how many letters do you get a day?
Oh, one, two.
Oh, no. You get a lot more than that.
Maybe 35, 40.
Hmm?
Yes.
Don't you ever have a secretary to help you answer?
Donna Lee does.
Well, and then I have another question.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what, if there is still a Boston newspaper that has a queries and answers column?
Yes.
What? Could you give me the name of it?
Yes. Tell It to Joe.
The what?
Tell It to Joe.
Oh, I can't even hear you.
Tell It to Joe. Tell It. T E L L I T capital J O E. Tell
no, I
it.
It. But that couldn't be the name of the paper.
You said the name of the. Oh, it's the Globe. The Boston Globe.
Oh, I see.
The Herald American, rather. The Herald American. I knew it was a 52-to-1 shot, and I got it wrong.
Larry,
what?
You do an awful lot of good under all your horseplay and monkey business. You're really very intelligent.
Oh, that's
very,
a lot of Hergwerk. Hergwerk.
Very kind, and...
No.
I think it's important to communicate, and you do that.
Well, you
help a great many people.
Do you communicate?
Well, some people don't communicate, but you do.
Well, that's my job.
You get yourself a very wholesome, nice philosophy.
And that's nice of you to say. What, do you work at all, lady?
Do I work?
Yes.
Well, I think I do. I've just been putting in a garden today. I'm exhausted. I've been planting tomato plants.
I don't mean that. I mean, do you do any other outside work? We communicate
no,
with people.
But I do a lot of inside work. There's a lot of work to run a house.
Yes. What does your husband do?
I have a 12-room house, and I do it all myself, practically.
That's good. What does your husband do?
I'm not asking any more personal questions. I want to ask you another personal question.
Okay.
When you talk about coffee and cookies...
Yes.
I hope that you're not eating cookies.
No, I am not. I used to at one time, and that's why I still maintain coffee and cookies, but I've given it up.
Well, tell them to eat whole wheat crackers and cheese.
Folks, eat whole wheat crackers and cheese.
Or sandwiches.
Or sandwiches.
With rye bread.
With rye bread.
Or oatmeal bread.
Or oatmeal bread, folks.
It worries me when you have so much sugar. You tell the little boys go get a cookie.
It's fine you said that. Eddie just made me some fresh coffee, and I just put some sweetener in, sweet and low, in my coffee.
Don't start the way you did last night.
Oh, was that embarrassing. Oh.
May I ask you one more question?
Yes, now you can ask me anything, this person. I want to ask you one little question. What your first name was in upstate New York, and you said, no.
Well, I've told you that before, but I...
Yeah, but I can't remember.
I don't like to talk. After I give my name, I crawl into a shell.
Uh-huh. Oh, I understand. Under those circumstances, if I...
Not that I'm saying anything worthwhile, but...
What's your personal question? I'll answer anything.
How did you get interested in religion? Astounded when you said there were, what you say last night, 250 different kinds of Protestant religion?
Yes, 250 different types of Protestantism.
Why are you so interested in religion? I am, too.
Well, let me see. Let me just do a little station ID here. Beat the weekend traffic crunch. Tune in to BZ's extended weekend traffic report to WBZ Boston Group W Westinghouse Broadcasting. Well, my religious education when I was young was very limited, almost zero.
Did your parents force you to go to a Jewish synagogue and so?
Well, no, they didn't force me, but it was, see, they were Orthodox, and it was all in Hebrew, and I didn't understand it. And I used to go there because there were four boys, and we loved my father, and it was really a chore. Just like if you went to a service and it was in a foreign language, you didn't understand it. So it had. You know, just we loved my mother and father, and we knew that it pleased my father if we went. So we would stand there next to him, and it gave him a great deal of pleasure.
You must have had awfully nice parents.
They really were. Yeah, they really were.
You turned out so well.
Oh, well, you don't know the other side of me. But anyways, it would, I remember when we were kids, you know, he would rent five seats, you know, himself and his four sons, and we would stand there next to him, and none of us understood Hebrew. And we did it just out of love for my father. It made him feel proud, and we were happy because he was happy.
How many children did your parents have?
Four boys. So that was the extent of it, and I did. And then I went to Hebrew school, and I was a kid. Once again, I was in Hebrew, and they really didn't turn me on. I wanted to play baseball in the afternoon. Then I used to go to public school, and after public school, I went to Hebrew school. Oh, it's going to school. I want to. Well, anyways, I guess I sort of resented certain things. I remember when I was a kid on Yom Kippur, when you're not supposed to eat, a gang of us used to go in town and go into a Chinese restaurant. rebellion and so forth. But anyways, that was... And then I was in the service, and then I met different people, or different religions, different backgrounds, ethnic groups, and so forth.
Don't you think that every religion, the most important thing about it is really the golden rule? Unselfishness or doing
it. Well, I wasn't looking at that aspect of it. I was looking at it. I said to myself, since I wasn't that religious, although I like, you know, I believe in God, and It struck me, it was amazing to me how many people all had the right answer, and everyone else was a schmo because they didn't believe the way they did. And then I said to myself, religion is supposed to be love, and I said there's so much hatred and distrust among all these people. They hate each other. And many of us are the same groups of religion. So then I started to read a little bit about it, and then I found out that how much was written, how much was legend, how much was story, you know, how much maybe never even happened, and yet many people believe it to a T. Because it was written in their language, it just used to shock me to believe that they said, here it is, it's written in this book, and it's the truth, and these were intelligent people. And then I liked, because I lived in Israel, I lived in Europe, and I like history and religion, and I would trace it back. Did this happen? Did the historian write it? What language did he write it in? Whose interpretation was it? What were they trying to sell? Who was trying to sell this particular point? Why was he trying to do this?
What do you feel is the one common thing in all religions?
War. Kill. War. Fight.
Oh.
Convert. Karate chop. You believe my? You will believe my way, or you die.
Well, I think a lot of religions are founded on fear.
Fear, that's right. Fear.
But do you think they're preaching hellfire anymore?
Yes, of course, sure.
Are they?
Sure, fear. I like to think of God as love, as, you know, a compassionate person or thing or spirit helping other people.
Maybe you should start a new religion.
I thought about it. I really did. I thought about it. Because what I would do is I'd like to put in some glycology like this, hypnosis, and make people feel good when they leave a service.
Yeah.
You know, actually use hypnosis and relax them. Relax them and take their anxieties away and have them walk out and say, hey, I feel great. I feel good. Hallelujah.
That sounds marvelous.
And have them walk out and have them love everybody else, not to say, let me see, I saw Charlie Jones here and...
What religion... of all that you've read, comes
closer
to what you believe.
Joe, I don't know.
I haven't found any. I found a little bit of them.
Now, I really don't know because I've really never gone into any one religion that deeply.
Have you ever studied Zen?
No, I don't know the Far Eastern religion.
That's very interesting, Zen. I have a little of Emerson in my religion and a little... Then,
what religion were you born into?
Well, I was born into my father's family. We're all Methodists. In fact, they're related to John Wesley.
Oh, yeah.
My mother's were Presbyterians. I was baptized Presbyterian, and then we moved to New England where they didn't have Presbyterian churches, and I was brought up in the Episcopal. And then when I was studying art in New York, I went to a different church every Sunday because I wanted to see what it was all about. I would go to a Catholic church, which
I can hardly hear you. You're fading away, my dear lady.
Well, I would go to the Jewish synagogue or a Catholic church or a different church every Sunday.
Right.
The one I like the best is Madison Avenue Methodist, Dr. Stockman. That was years ago, which shows how very ancient I am. But I don't know. I've been interested in all religions.
I am. I'm interested in all religions.
And there's good in all of them.
That's true. That's true. And I'm for it. I say that. Many times people need it and they feel good with it and they feel comfortable, and I say that's great, they should have it. The only thing I'm against is that if they have one religion, don't hit someone else on a stone, or don't hit someone else in the head with a stone because they believe something different.
But do you believe in Emerson's law of retribution?
Well, I see. Well, in a way, I think I do, yes.
Yes, all the things you do, and so... Yes. That means that you're going to be very happy because you've done so much good and you've helped so many people. I can remember a few years ago, in fact, several times I've been hospitalized for different things. And the doctor couldn't understand why I didn't want any painkillers. And I said, well, I think a little pain is good for your soul. And I never would take even aspirin or any sleeping pills or anything. But I had a little portable radio, and I had Larry Glick all night. You know, when you're in the hospital, the nights are the worst part of it.
I know.
And I would have an all-night entertainment very softly with Larry Glick music.
That's nice.
And Larry, really, you have seen me through some horrible times that it really, you've been a great help, and I know...
Well, thank you.
there are a lot of people in hospitals and nursing homes probably listening to you tonight, and I know you're a great comfort to them. And you're going to have to come back.
You better stop it. If you stop me crying now, I've got another 5 hours to go.
There was a marvelous program last night about happiness.
Oh, yeah. I like him.
I don't think you can pursue happiness. It just happens after you've done something good that comes to you.
That's right. I guess so. I like him. Sam Sinclair Baker. I haven't read the book yet. I've read a little bit, but I'm going to read it. I like some of the stuff. Well, listen.
You have some very interesting interviews.
I do the best I can. We were going to have Blackstone. I'd like to find out why, but I guess there must have been a personality clash or something someplace. Well, listen, thanks very much, and do a good job on your flowers tomorrow.
Okay,
you almost made me cry, lady. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You can stop wondering about what to give Dad if you get on to either of the two amazing Adams warehouses in Boston and Salem, New Hampshire. The famous menswear outlets that keep surprising shoppers with bargains like these. Designer-style sport shirts. You've seen them selling for $27 to $35 on sale at $7.90 to $9.90 and $14.90. Short sleeve dress shirts in sizes to 16.5. The Adams Warehouse discount price is $4.90. And you can get three for $10. Designer ties, 10 for $17.75. Leisure suits, $17.75. Lightweight, well-tailored suits for men, $17.75 and $29. Sport coats, $17.75. Slacks, three pairs for $17.75. So stop wondering and start looking at the price tag in both Adams Men's Clothing Warehouses, 123 B Street, corner of South Street in Boston, and in the Mr. Coats Factory Building at 32 Hampshire Road in Salem, New Hampshire. Both Adams Warehouses open Monday through Friday till 9, Saturdays to 6. Salem Outlet is open Sundays 1 to 6. Boston open Sunday for team browsing 11 to 6. Money back on any unaltered garment within 7 days. Let's take another call, John. Here's the part. I was just telling Eddie, I said, nothing's happened for the program yet. John's doing a crossword puzzle. Eddie's trying to call this woman in New Jersey to wake the dog who lived up in Alaska. The Alaska number's busy, can't get it. Blackstone is out. We're going to have Joey the Hitman on Friday. If he calls at 12, 18 and a half, 30 on a certain number, he can get in. If he doesn't, we have to call him back in someplace else. I mean, it's just everything is just going. I don't know what's happening. Let's take another call, see what we have. Hello, WBZ, you're on the air.
Hello, Larry.
Hello there.
This is Louise from Rainham.
Hey, Louise from Rainham.
I have two questions I'd like to ask you. I don't know whether you can answer them for
me or
not.
What is it?
You mentioned last night something about Larry Blyden.
Yes.
I heard just the very end of it, and I do watch that one of his television programs. Whatever happened to him?
He was in an automobile accident and died last week.
An automobile accident?
In Morocco.
In
North Africa.
Oh, right.
And he was there for a week and he died.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Now, the other question was, how about Chuck Scarborough?
Chuck Scarborough.
Channel 7.
Yes, he's in New York.
I see.
New York.
As a broadcaster?
Yes.
I see.
Yes, he...
Well...
Tom Ellis is leaving.
Uh-huh.
Chuck Scarborough's gone.
Yeah, I really like Chuck.
They offered John Detroyer a deal there at one of the stations, and he turned it down.
Uh-huh.
They, as a political commentator.
Uh-huh.
He said he's not leaving this area.
I see.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say I enjoy your program very, very much.
Why, Louise?
I just do. I think it's just great. And
Let me ask John. Hey, John, is there any chance of you taking that political job in New York? He said no. How about
you going on TV? Were you on Channel 2 this time?
Yes, I was on Channel 2 Saturday at 5:30.
Oh, gosh, I missed you.
And I gave away, Congressman Joe Moakley was there, and I gave away several things, and several things that he donated.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny, there was some guy, I don't know who he was, someone who worked at Channel 2, he had this bowler, this, you know, like a big derby.
Uh-huh.
He said, hey, you look good with this. I slapped him out.
Is it going to appear at all on TV in the future?
I don't know.
Talk shows?
Mr. Yanoff, he's the general manager here. He keeps asking me every day. He said, Larry, I've got a swell pilot for you. I want you to. I said, hey, sign. Please, no.
Please, he says, Larry, I want you to try this. I said, no, Si, leave me alone. I used to want TV, but not anymore.
Not anymore.
No. Leave me alone. Every other day he writes a note. He sends a memo down. Larry, come on up and talk to me about this TV pilot. I said, no. No, I don't. Leave me alone, would you, Si?
No, I think it'd be great. Let's see, just one other question.
Yes.
You mentioned your programs, I guess, out in Saugus.
Program in Saugus?
Yeah, I mean, a nice set of appearances in Saugus.
Yes, yes.
Outside of Boston.
Yes.
How about this side of Boston? Do you ever appear at all?
Where are you?
In Rainham, near Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever come out this way at all?
Yeah. Yes, once in a while. Yes. Mm. Yes.
Where do you appear here?
Oh, at the dog track. I clean the kennels.
You do not.
I don't.
Really, where do you appear?
In the South Shore, different places. Kingston. Mm-hmm. You know what Kingston is?
Yes, yeah. Are you going to be there very soon?
Oh, see, I can't, you know, give you specific information. And I don't
I'd
know
love
either.
I'd to see you. Well, I'll be listening to you.
Well, listen,
very
Louise. Thank you very much. I could tell by telling you that you would enjoy it.
I'd love it.
Yeah, I know that you would.
I really would, it's just that I don't want to go, you know, outside of Boston.
I don't blame you. You're frightened, right?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't want to drive, you know.
Why?
Well, I really just don't like that traffic. You know, I'm really nervous about driving.
How often do you come into Boston?
Oh, I don't. I just shop in Braintree. I avoid the, city of Boston.
I have to sneeze. Excuse me, I had a sneeze, lady. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Well, listen, thank you, and it was very good talking to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
2545678. Hello, WBZ, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Brother Glick.
This is Brother Glick speaking.
Brother Glick, have you given up the Evil Age?
Yeah. Not all of them.
Not all of them, huh?
No.
Hey, Brother Glick.
Yeah.
You were talking about the Red Sox nights ago, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're saying that's going to make a trade, like?
Yeah.
Well, could this trade be like with the Cleveland Indians, maybe?
Yes. Yes, it could be.
Ah, you sure about it now?
No, it could be. I'm not sure, but it could be.
It's going to be with a team in the American League.
Who is this?
Huh?
Who is this?
Well, this is just one of your listeners.
You have any Evil Ways?
No, sir.
Oh. Who could the trade be? Come on. You know something that I don't know. Come on, level with me now.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm just a well-informed person, that's all.
All right, give me the story behind the story.
Well, the Cleveland Indians got this pitcher. Name of Gaylord Perry.
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
And he's a fine pitcher, but he's kind of old guy, you know.
How old is he?
About 36 years old.
Is that old? 36?
Well, in baseball, that.
Oh, okay.
And they're trying to unload him.
Uh-huh.
See, they're not doing so good lately.
Go ahead.
They really got their pants whipped off.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
So they're figuring trying to unload him on the Red Sox, you know, get some of them good young pitchers we got over there, you know. Or maybe steal some of your outfielders.
I used to hit pretty good when I was younger.
Oh, you were a baseball player, huh?
I'll show you. I go back a few years. I see Fenway Park jammed. I see the guy, pitcher on the mound. Yeah. Let me relive this for a moment. I'm up to bat right now. There's a windup. And a pitch. And quick. Quick. Oh, those were the days, kid. Those were the days. I used to whack that ball around any position, right field, left field, deep center, any place.
Hey, Brother Greg.
Yes, what is it, brother?
Now I want to ask you a music question.
All right, let me get my music hat on. Let me take my little baseball cap off. Okay. My music. Yes.
Have you ever heard of a band called the Jay Giles Band?
The what?
The Jay Giles Band.
Jay Giles Band?
Yes.
No.
Well, they're from Boston.
Where are you calling from?
Akron, Ohio.
Akron, Ohio.
At the capital of West Virginia. You hear that one?
No, I never heard of the group.
Oh, this is... Well, they're from Boston. They're touring the country with the Rolling Stones.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Hear them?
The Rolling Stones. I think they're... You want to hear something? I think that they're here tonight.
In Boston?
Yeah, at the Boston Garden. Are they, John? Do you know the Rolling... I think they are. I think the Rolling Stones... That's coincidental. They're here in Boston. I'm pretty sure they are, but I wouldn't bet you a corn cob. What do you do, brother?
Well, I'm pretty much nothing, sir.
Now, what do you do? Come on. What do you do for a living? Come on, tell me.
Well, I can't tell you. It's a secret.
Who's going to know in Akron, Ohio? They don't know who you are.
They can't know. It's important.
Huh?
I'm a hitman for the CIA.
A hitman for the CIA?
That's right.
You don't sound like a hitman for the CIA, brother.
Well, what do I sound like?
Well, I don't know. You sound like you may be just a, you know, pleasant guy, lives next door, you know, mows his lawn, goes to work 9, come home at 5.
Well, I am, but that's what they want you to think.
But you're a hitman for the CIA. And
that's
this Friday, we're having a hitman for the mafia on. Hey, that would be good to have you on and have him on.
Well, I don't tell anybody about it, you see.
Oh.
I mean, you just broke me down. I'm not supposed to let that leak out.
Can you tell me about a couple of experiences that you've had?
Well, no, I better not. I mean, all the CIA stuff's getting out in the open already, you know. And they're all worked up about it, you know, all these assassinations and stuff.
Do you think there's any truth to the assassination of the of these foreign leaders?
Well, of course. I mean, America's got to do something, you know. I mean, all these commies running wild, you know.
Right.
Hmm. And, we got to do something to protect our interests.
What was your motto? Kill a commie?
No, sir.
What was it?
Defend and protect.
Defend and protect.
That's right.
Hey, I like that. Defend and protect.
Well,
can you tell us one story, or one offer that was made to you? What if someone said, brother, we want you to knock off, let's say, a Chinese dignitary. And would they give you a special contract? Would you earn so much money? I mean, the more important the person, the more difficult the job, the more money, or would you want a monthly or a yearly contract?
Yeah, I get paid by the job.
By the job. Yes, right, so therefore, you're not on civil service then. You don't work for the government.
Oh, yeah, I work for the government, but it's a special deal.
Oh.
I don't pay any taxes.
Oh. Hey, brother.
Yes, sir.
Are you putting me on?
No, sir.
You have to say, sir, to me, I was an enlisted man. I was just a staff sergeant.
Well, I have a little respect for my elders.
Oh, how old are you?
20 years old.
Yeah, I guess I am a little older than you. Hit man, you couldn't even get a hit to left field.
Oh, yes, sir. I parked one right. I knocked it into that Fenway wall.
Shoot. What sort of weapons do you use when you make a hit?
Oh, a knife.
How many hits have you made so far?
About 21 or 2.
What type of people have you hit, brother?
Well,
the truth now.
Mostly professional people, you know, middle class, like.
Middle class? What do you hit middle class people for? They ain't bothering you, brother.
Say, Brother Greg.
Yes.
Could you do me a little favor tonight?
A favor?
Yes, sir.
What kind of a favor?
Well, I've been killed wiping all these people out, you know, and I'm in a little need of that, some of that old-time religion.
Oh,
you know?
Some of the old-time religion?
That's right.
Well, brother, if you need some old-time religion, you came to the right place. I want to give you a little sermon with Preacher Lavelle.
Down with the oppressor.
Down with the oppressor. Oh, you know him.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me see. Eddie, can you line up those people in the other room so we can have one chorus of old-time religion? And I want you to get rid of your evil ways. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Eddie just went out to see if he can would line them up. He says that they're going to come in, and I'm going to have Preacher Lavelle. So
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I thought it would be important for me to come before you this morning.
All right. Studio number 3. Come in if you can hear me.
Don't give me that old time religion.
Oh, my brother, please, you give me. episode 75. July 4th weekend. Return with us to those thrilling days.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Lux Radio Theater brings you Rita Hayworth and Charles Corbin in This Love of Ours.
Who knows what evil lurks in the heart of men?
All those great shows and much, much more. BZ's big broadcast of 75. July 4th, 5th, and 6th from Dunphy's in Hyannis. It's all for the benefit of muscular dystrophy. The big broadcast of 75. July 4th weekend on Radio 103.
I'm really looking forward to that myself. Don and I will be down there. We'll like to meet all those people.
Daddy?
Old-time radio. They'll give us some old-time radio. We'll give them some old-time religion.
And don't forget, from 4 to 5 every morning now,
Eddie and I have inaugurated something new, and we'd like it too, because it gives people a lot of time to call in. From 4 to 5 every morning, we take just out-of-state calls from 4 to 5, because people write in and they say, please, give us a break. What do we like to get in and voice our opinion? I said, yes. So, I mean, out-of-state callers can call anytime, but just from 4 to 5, we'll take just 4 to 5 out-of-state callers. Let's take another call, John. See, we have. It's the 7 minutes before 1 on WBZ. Hello, good, if you can hear me.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, neighbor.
I want to tell you a story and see if you remember a person that you met in the cold days of January.
All right.
This year.
Yes.
I think it was a Saturday morning as you were coming out of the BZ studios.
Yes, yes.
There was a gentleman standing there all dressed up waiting for you who had a smoking problem.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh.
Who was that person?
That was Harry.
Harry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He worked for an engineering company.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I do.
What are you talking to him?
Harry.
Yeah.
And are you still smoking today?
No.
You son of a gun. Harry, that's great.
Since January the 8th.
Harry, now I remember you. Yes, I do, Harry. You're a very good subject.
I took the cure.
Right. That's great, Harry.
But there's one thing, Larry.
Uh-oh. What is it now, Harry?
I gained weight.
How much?
Oh, gee. 20 pounds?
Well, Harry, are you ready, Harry?
I'm ready.
What you learned, you can use for the weight reduction.
Now, Larry, I tried it.
And what happened?
Well, you know, it worked for about 5 or 6 days.
Harry, you have to keep with it, Harry. You have to put, you use the self-hypnosis, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let me see now. If you close your eyes, Harry, you'll be able to find out that you can picture yourself with the weight. How much do you want to weigh?
About 175.
How much? You weigh 195 now?
About 200.
200, Harry. That's 25 pounds of solid fat.
That's right.
That you've got to get off. All right. Now, don't do it with willpower. Do it with imagination. All you have to do, Harry, have you been to a physician? I mean, it's not, you know, this was just put on because you stopped smoking. Right?
Right.
All right. All you have to do is just eliminate certain foods. Keep eating everything, the good food. Eliminate all pastry, bread, potatoes, all starchy foods. And say that these are poison foods to yourself. Say these foods are poison, that it's an insult. Obesity is an insult to my body. That you're a very vain person. I remember that you were a good-looking guy. That you and that it's easy for you to eliminate the food, that you'll eat a little bit less each day, that you'll be aware of all the calories that you put in your system, and you'll exercise a little bit more than you do. You'll eat a little less and exercise a little bit more, and you'll take off a pound or two a week, and in a short time, Harry, you'll be down to 175, your lungs will be free, and your body will be saying, thank you, Harry. Harry, thank you for taking this extra weight off. Your feet will say, thank you, Harry. Harry, I didn't need this extra 25 pounds. It's a little suitcase that you've just dropped. And you'll be able to do it, Harry, but do it every day. Do it every day. Whenever you think, maybe 10 times a day, use a quick suggestion to yourself and say, I have no desire to eat any junk foods. I have no desire. And when I do eat, I'll eat a little slower. I'll eat a little slower and a little less. Harry, if you do that, you'll see that in a short time, you'll take off a pound or two a week.
Larry, that's just what I needed.
Okay, Harry.
That's just what I needed.
You're okay. And if you need any help, give me a buzz, okay?
I'll do that, but I wanted to tell you, things are slow tonight. I've got a number for you to call.
Okay, listen, hey, hold on, because I've got to get the 1 o'clock news, okay?
Okay.
Hold on. We'll be right back. Moonlight Serenade.
Moonlight Serenade.
Pierre wraps up everything you need to know in the morning. This morning at 6 on Radio 103. The Spirit of New England, WBZ, Boston Group, W, Westinghouse Broadcasting. At 60 degrees in Boston tonight, saw the 56 Arm Street of Glick reporting the 1 o'clock news. And two items just in. Thank you, Eddie. Air France announced early Thursday that a fire started on one of its 747 jumbo jet planes during takeoff from Bombay International Airport Wednesday night. There were no casualties. A spokesman for the company in Paris said the fire started while the jet, a 747B, was taxiing before takeoff. The plane was bound for Paris and was able to stop in time. Spokesman said all passengers were taken off uninjured. He said no other details were immediately available. And this in, too, the Cleveland Plain Dealer says in a copyrighted story in its Thursday edition that at least one foreign leader was killed in an assassination plotted by the Central Intelligence Agency. The copyrighted story quotes Democratic Representative James Stanton of Ohio, chairman of a House subcommittee launching an investigation of the agency. The Plain Dealer also says it has learned independently that the leader was either Patrice Lumumba of the Congo, Dominican Republic dictator Rafael Trujillo, or General Rene Schneider of Chile. Stanton is quoted as saying that it's his understanding that one assassination plot succeeded and that the record will show it when it's disclosed. Oregon's Al Ullman, chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, says that either without a gasoline tax, the Democratic alternative program to President Ford's energy package is usable. The House on Wednesday ignored the pleas of Democratic leaders and voted to cut from the energy bill any federal gasoline tax. Some supporters considered that the backbone of the legislation. President Ford and Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin exchanged pledges of friendship between their nations Wednesday evening at a White House dinner in Rabin's honor. The two leaders also pledged a common interest in movement toward Mideast peace. In a toast to Rabin, Ford says he knows Israel shares the U.S. desire for freedom and independence. Earlier in the day, diplomatic sources said Rabin told Ford Israel is willing to resume U.S.-managed peace negotiations with Egypt. Rabin is said to have indicated Israel is prepared to make unspecified concessions in a new round of talks. WBZ News Time, 2.5 minutes after 1. Men, this is your last chance to own an overcoat and top coat made in Baron Anderson's own factory. There are only about 1,000 of these coats left in the world, and they all go on sale at fantastic savings in the Baron Anderson retail store. You can buy a Baron Anderson-made overcoat, originally priced at $255 for only $79. Or a Baron Anderson-made coat, originally priced at $225 for $69. Or Baron Anderson-made top coats, originally priced at $140 for only $29. When these overcoats and topcoats are gone, there will be no more ever. If you've had the good fortune to enjoy the superb fabrics, tailoring, and craftsmanship of a Baron Anderson-made coat, you'll fly down to the Baron Anderson retail store and grab off one or more of these coats for next fall, just a few months away. All sizes, but not all sizes in every style. 100% wool blend. Open weekdays and Saturdays, 9 to 5, Mondays and Wednesdays, 9 to 8. Go now to Baron Anderson at 745 Atlantic Avenue, near the South Station, corner of Beach Street. The entrance is on Beach Street. The Massachusetts Senate has been placed on 24-hour call in the move to get approval for a $497 million bond budget package to fund welfare checks. The Senate president says that he will not call the Senate back into session until he has enough votes to pass the package. More than 21,000 welfare recipients were forced to go without checks this week. An unusually frank survey published in the Soviet Union indicates that nation's puritanical image is somewhat misleading. The report cites sharp increases in premarital sex, adultery, and illegitimate births. The report also took note of the rising number of unmarried couples living together and unreported separations. Now the weather for Boston and vicinity. For the rest of this morning, cloudy. Chance of showers by morning, lows around 60. And for Thursday, June 12th, 1975. Occasional rain. I'm sorry to give you that too. Occasional rain with chance of a few thunderstorms, but there may be some sunshine. High 70 to 75. That'll be pleasant. Thursday night and Friday, partly cloudy with, sorry to say it again, chance of a few more showers. Lows near 60, highs in the 70s. Probability of precipitation, 40% this morning, and 80% Thursday, 40% Thursday night. I always like to be optimistic and think that there will be a little sunshine for you. In Boston, now it's 60 degrees. Hi, sports fans on the BZ scoreboard. In the top of the 10th, Boston 7, the White Sox 7. Baltimore 9 and Texas 8. First game. California 14, Detroit 7. After three innings, California 3 and Detroit 3. Yankees 5, Minnesota 1, Oakland 5, Milwaukee 3, Kansas City 7, Oakland 1. Correction, strike that last one. Kansas City 7, Cleveland 1. In the National League, Cincinnati 3, St. Louis 1, San Francisco 8, Philadelphia 3, Houston 5, and Pittsburgh 1. The Cubs in Atlanta postponed because of rain. San Diego 3, Montreal 1. After four innings, Los Angeles 1, Mets 0. Excuse me, right? That's it, sports fans. The top story of the hour. Air France announced early Thursday that a fire started in one of its 747 jumbo jet planes during takeoff from Bombay International Airport Wednesday night. There were no casualties. And that's the 1 o'clock WBZ report. I'm Streeter Glick, WBZ News.
If you have a question about government in Massachusetts, any question about any government, state, county, or town, the voter information phone has the answer. BZ suggests you call toll-free 1-800-882-1649. The voter information phone, 1-800-882-1649.
Okay, is Harry still? Hello, Harry? Harry?
Yes.
Are you still there, Harry?
I'm still there.
Okay, now, you said you had a call. Hey, now, Harry, I want you to be successful in this thing because you're a successful person. I want you to be successful and let me know how you make out.
Well, Harry, right? The reason I called is I needed a way of looking at it, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
You know, a way of approaching the problem, and you've helped me out.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it a try.
Give me the call now. Who is it?
Well, the call is, maybe you've heard of this, it's a tape in New York.
Oh, the dialer joke?
You know all about it.
Well, sometimes, you know, I guess we can call him. Ask Eddie, does Eddie have that number? Dial a joke in New York? Yeah, he has it.
Well, you know, sometimes you don't have to do it.
Yeah, no, listen, Harry, we're going to do it now. I mean, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good.
Right, I agree with you. But you got a few more minutes.
Yeah, go ahead, Harry.
Well, you know, I want to talk about malpractice.
Go ahead.
A little bit.
Let me get my stethoscope and my rubber gloves. Wait a minute.
Okay, you ready?
All right.
Well, you know, it's getting springtime now, and one of my neighbors up the street was out working on his roof, you know, fixing it up, I guess, after a hard winter, and he fell off the roof. And didn't break any bones, but on his way down, he caught his leg below his knee, his right leg, on the eaves, and put a really bad cut into it. He didn't take care of it, and he got gangrene. And they had to take him to one of the local hospitals. I won't mention which one it was. But they had to amputate the leg below the knee. And, you know, they had him in this, like, the day of the surgery. They had him all drugged and kind of out. And this orderly came in and to repair the leg. You know, I guess they wrap it all up in gauze or something.
and the orderly didn't know what was, you know, what he was doing, and he wrapped the wrong leg.
Oh, come on.
Good leg.
Harry. Go ahead.
And it was, you know, it's wrapped up. So the doctor didn't even look. They took him into surgery, and they cut off his good leg.
Oh, my God.
And then, you know, they had to turn right around and cut off the other one. And, you know, the guy is sitting at home now.
It's a true story.
Yeah.
Oh, holy mackerel. Oh, that makes me a little sick.
Yeah, I just thought you'd appreciate that. Now, just one other thing.
What happened?
Well, nothing. You know, he can't sue or anything.
He can't?
He doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Oh, you son. Harry, you should have. Oh. Harry. I'm sorry you told me that, Harry. That stinks. 254-5678.
Pretty wet, too. The fire hydrant is in the front seat. One day I sized like a little teeny foreign car. I saved the guy some gas, though. He wrote on my door handle for 20 minutes before he got my attention. My loft driving instructor refused to get in the car with me. He ran along outside. But I fixed him. I sighed right
there. You're right again. Center, Porter Square, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, manufacturers of quality custom designed flags and banners for city seals, towns, yacht clubs, and businesses since 1939. In our colorful showroom, there are thousands of U.S. state flags of all nations and every size and material, headquarters for historical and bicentennial flags. The Flag Center, 1865 Mass Avenue, Porter Square, Cambridge, Massachusetts, also makes all sizes of modern fiberglass flagpoles for home and commercial use. The Flag Center has made and installed the three largest fiberglass flagpoles in the world in the Dallas, Texas Municipal Center. Beautiful, strong fiberglass poles guaranteed to withstand winds of 150 miles per hour. So for quality custom flags and flagpoles, come or write to the Flag Center, Porter Square, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts. Ask for our free brochure. And don't forget, they're open all day, Saturday through June. And remember, Flag Day is June 14th. Let's take another call, 254-5678. Ron WBZ. Hello, Ken, if you can hear me. Hello, Ken, if you can hear me.
Hello?
Hello?
Larry?
Yes.
How are you?
Mosta Bene.
Bob Panza here.
Who?
Bob Panza.
Bob, where are you?
In a mobile phone right now, if you can't hear me.
I can hear you okay. Bob, you're traveling at what rate of speed?
I'm traveling 55.
You better be careful. If it's over 55, we'll turn you in and take you in on a 705.
I just turned in on a 306, more or less.
What can I do for you, Bobby boy?
I want you to give a call to Boston's greatest boogie-woogie piano player. I heard you're looking for a good boogie-woogie piano player one night.
Yeah.
You
got
to call the preacher, Jack Lincoln.
Preacher Jack Lincoln.
Yeah, he's working on a place in Revere Beach.
Is he working now?
Yeah, he's there now.
What's his name, Preacher?
Preacher Jack Lincoln.
Preacher?
He's good. He preaches good, too, but he's a good boogie woogie man. That's his specialty.
And what? Where is he?
He's at 284.
284.
6649.
Okay.
Give him a call. I think you might enjoy him. He's very good at the boogie woogie.
Is he a preacher, too?
Well, not really, but he's a preacher. He preaches to all the customers that drink there.
Okay. Eddie, call preacher Jack Lincoln over there.
Okay, I'm going to turn on and listen.
Okay, Bob.
Okay.
This is 10-4.
10-4.
So long there, Bob Penza.
Preacher Jack Lincoln, I'd like a little boogie-woogie music. I'd like that. We have one down in Baltimore. Might as well get one right here in Boston. Well, Eddie's calling that number. Does Eddie have that number? Does he have it? Great, he's calling him now. He's calling him now? All right. Let's take another call while we're waiting to get him, line him up. 254-5678, you're on WBZ. Hello.
Hi, Godfather.
This is the Godfather.
Would you do me a favor?
What is your favor?
I'm calling from Manchester, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I listened to you all the time, Martha. Would you play a baloney song for me?
I played it last night. I can't play it every night. If I do, the other mob will listen in and move in. You understand?
Yeah, I do. Can you play something else?
Yeah. I'll play something else for you.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Sorry.
Your favor is granted.
Thank you.
Buona sera. 254-5678, you're on WBZ. Hello.
Hello, contact Larry?
Yeah, let me see. Yes, yes, it is.
Is this Larry Glick?
Let me check again. Yes, yes, it is.
Larry?
Yes.
I have a problem right now.
I can help you. What is it? Let me... Tell me what...
5'8".
Let me see. 5'8".
And 230 pounds.
Oh, 230 pounds, right.
And... Go ahead. I'm wondering if hypnosis could help me at all.
I'd have no idea. If you're a good subject, yes. If you're a bad subject, no.
Well, how can I tell if I'm a good subject?
Well, if you're of average or above average intelligence, if you have a desire to lose weight, if you check with your physician and find out that that your obesity is due to improper eating habits, the probability is yes.
Well, it's due to my eating habits.
Are you sure? Have you had a physical checkup?
Yes, I have.
A physician checked you out and said that you have a big fat mouth. Is that it?
Yeah, that's improper, what it is, Larry.
Improper eating habits, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well... I would say generally, I mean, you can't give a yes or no who'll be successful and who'll be unsuccessful. You cannot until you try, you see, because it's not magic.
Well, I really have the desire to lose weight.
There's only one good way, one sure way. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, what's your first name?
Leo.
Huh?
Leo.
Leo, hold on. I think we have Preacher Jack on. Hold on, will you, Leo? And then we'll be back. We have Preacher. Where are you calling from?
Medford.
Oh, Medford. Yeah. Well, you can, there's no charge, so you hold on. Hold on, okay, Leo?
Okay.
Hello, Preacher Jack. Hello, Preacher Jack.
Yes, sir.
Preacher Jack, this is Larry Glick. We're on the air.
Hello, sir.
Hello.